Hello again. Ray Yurt here with a few more thoughts on the Word of God. We've been looking at the subject of true happiness. We've asked ourselves some questions about it. What is true happiness? How do you get it? And when you have it, how do you keep it? We discovered that true happiness is the blessedness that comes into your life when you accept Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour and when you commit to making Him Lord of your life, living your life according to His Word. But Jesus warned His disciples that even when you possess that blessedness, there are things that can come into your life that will threaten it, that will attack your happiness and your peace. He warns about those things in the Sermon on the Mount, and in earlier talks I identified 12 different things that he warns about. I said I would talk in a little bit of detail about a few of them, and we've looked at the subject of worry and how it can destroy your peace. We've also looked at an unforgiving attitude. And in this brief talk, I want to look at the subject of strife in your life. It's very easy for strife to come into your life and destroy your peace and your true happiness that you should be enjoying. There's a very solemn statement in Job chapter 5, verse 7. Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Just the same as it's natural for sparks in a fire to fly upward, so it seems almost natural for us to get into strife one way and another in our lives. The Word of God is full of examples of it. Abraham got into strife with Pharaoh. He had strife with Lot. He had strife with his wife, Sarah. He had strife with Hagar and with Ishmael. Strife with Abimelech. You read the story of Joseph and you see the strife that he had with his brothers, the strife he had with Potiphar's wife. You read of Moses and he had strife with his fellow countrymen. Strife with Pharaoh. Strife with the multitude in the wilderness. Strife with his sister Miriam. You read the story of David and he had strife with Saul and strife with several of his children. Strife is a very common thing, and the Lord warned about it in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm reading here a few verses from Matthew 5, verses 22 to 25. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. It's very possible for your emotions to get out of check. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, you know, putting them down, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire, if hatred really gets the hold of you. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. Go your way, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Get strife out of your life every way that you can. You can get into strife so easily. The next verse says, agree with your adversary quickly. Oh, try to get arguments over and out of the way. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. So many things can come from strife, but it's something that can come into a Christian's life to destroy their peace and their true happiness that they should be enjoying. I want to take the example of Jacob because his is quite a remarkable example of strife in the life. Jacob experienced a lot of strife in his life. In fact, He had strife with his twin brother before he was born. His mother, Rebecca, was barren for a number of years, and his father, Isaac, pleaded with the Lord, and the Lord answered his prayer, and the twins were born. But along the way, there was a bit of trouble. It says, but the children struggled together within Rebecca. So even before Jacob was born, he was having strife with his brother. And she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. In the process of time, as the children were born, Jacob was the younger, but he became dominant. The older shall serve the younger. When the boys grew, Esau became a proficient hunter. And his father loved him and loved the venison that he provided. But Isaac was more a home bird, and his mother really favoured him. And the household was divided. It was a dysfunctional household, with the father loving one son above the other and the mother loving the other one and preferring him. But one day, Esau was out hunting, and he stayed out a bit long. He extended himself a bit too much, and he came back and he was totally weary. You read about it in the latter verses of Genesis 25. And Esau is so hungry that he's willing to do anything to get food. And Jacob is at home and he's been cooking, and he's made some stew. And Esau says, sell me some of your stew. And Jacob sees his chance and he says, well, you sell me your birthright. You sell me the rights of the firstborn and I'll give you some stew. And Esau thinks, well, if I am just on point of death, I need something to eat. What good would my birthright be if I die? And he gives his birthright to Jacob. And now the younger is getting it over the older. But when it comes then to the time of the blessing coming for the birthright, by a very devious means, Jacob deceives his father, and he receives the birthright, the blessing that would go to the older boy, and this causes even more strife between Esau and Jacob. So much strife that Esau really deeply hates Jacob. And in Genesis 27 and 41 it says, so Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. And he intends to kill Jacob as soon as his father Isaac dies. Now the mother hears about this, and she says to Jacob, you had better go and live somewhere else for a while. Go to my relatives. They're a long distance away. And when your brother has forgotten about all of this, then you can come back. She didn't realize that in sending Jacob away, she would never see him again. She died before he came back. He was away for years. He went to live with her relatives, his uncle Laban, and he didn't get on well with him. He had strife with him and with his cousins, Laban's sons, and eventually he has to leave there and face coming back home to see his brother Esau, who hated him. Now, as you read the succeeding chapters in the book of Genesis, you find Jacob travelling back to Esau, and chapter 33 of Genesis, in verse 1, it says, Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and there was Esau coming, and with him 400 men. And he felt, he's coming to kill me. And as he is in turmoil about that, he prays. And he says this to the Lord, chapter 32 of Genesis, verses 10 and 11. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. I left home with nothing, now I am travelling back, and I am a rich man. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. And being a very cunning man, he sends a present on towards Esau, who's approaching with this 400 men. And he sends his wives and his children on ahead and thinks, well, I'll be at the back, and by the time he gets to me, I'll be all right. But in the latter verses of chapter 32 in Genesis, it says Jacob was left alone and he had a dealing with God. And from verse 24 to verse 32 of chapter 32, you read of a real time of struggling that Jacob had with the Lord, and it caused Jacob to change. And now Jacob, instead of sending the family on ahead of him and exposing them to the wrath of Esau, he goes at the start. He goes in front of them and faces his brother Esau. And the whole thing turns out well. Listen to the record of Genesis 33 and the first four verses. Now Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and there Esau was coming, and with him 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two maidservants, and he put the maidservants and their children in front, Leah and her children behind, and Rachel and Joseph last. Then he crossed over before them, faced up to his own problems, and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept, and the strife was resolved. See, the Lord says, if you realize that somebody has something against you, do something about it. Do everything you can to keep strife out of your life. Jacob came to the point where he realized that he was part of the problem. In fact, a major part of the problem. There's an interesting portion in James chapter 4. Let me read it to you. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet. You cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns to jealousy, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? The troubles that cause strife come from within us. We are part of the problem. And when you, as Jacob, realize that you're not worthy of the least of God's mercies, and you humble yourself, and you get away from judging other people, judging your brother, and being at loggerheads with them, and seek to humble yourself and settle disputes, until we do that, we'll continue to have strife in our lives. But the Lord says, avoid it. Agree with your adversary quickly. If you know that your brother has something against you, go and see him and settle it. Don't let strife spoil your blessedness. May the Lord speak to us through these things, for we all need these messages. May the Lord bless you. Amen.